What's up, Kraken Aces listeners? You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, just start it off like that. Talk about your time on the Dave Portnoy show, Nate. Probably dropping around the same time as Cracking Aces.
Yeah, when does that drop?
Did you know? Did you at least like mention Cracking Aces or anything? Get the
We talked briefly about the mask bet. Here's where I stand on wearing the mask at main event. Is the mask kind of is like just synonymous with my time at Barstool, as is like poker and all of that. So if Dave wants to fly to Vegas and film me, like, you know, playing poker in the main event, which I never thought I would ever be able to play in my life, which is now going to be my fourth main event, while wearing a mask, which would be objectively hilarious.
Yeah, that'd like, be great.
I'm all for it. Like, I think he thinks I hate it way more than I do.
Now,
yeah.
Yes, 3 years ago, hated it.
Right. It was the way that he talked about Bully Club. All that coming up next on Dave Portnoy's show. But if he wants to talk about Bully Club, like, what are we even talking about, dude? But
he did bring up a fair point.
Which, by the way, this is Kraken Aces, and we're talking about, I just came off of the Dave Portnoy show where he yelled at me for like 15 minutes and I yelled back for 14 of them.
He did bring up a good point. Now that I think about it, is the mask legal? Because you can't technically like bring the hoodie up and like cover your face.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they've ever run into a situation where someone wanted to wear a luchador mask at the table. But it's not. It's just like a cotton mask. So I don't know. I just don't know. I hope it's legal. I'll wear it.
I feel like they're going to be fine with about any mask worn at this WSOP.
That's
if there's
true.
Ever a year to wear it.
It's like it's like a special
it.
COVID mask.
Yeah,
it doesn't like, hey, cover your mouth or nose
the
at all.
The only thing it doesn't cover is your mouth
it's
or
a,
nose.
It's a special technology they...
Huh? Yeah, I'll have to send a couple emails and get to the bottom.
Because you're with an actual mask, the mask we all wear,
the COVID mask.
Yes, you would be covered pretty much 100%.
So maybe I have to sew one into it. If I
why don't you just get like the same colored?
Yeah, I need to sew
color of a regular
a COVID mask.
Mask
into the luchador mask, and then I think maybe that'll be kosher. I don't know, but all in all, good times on the Dave Portnoy show. Fun for all. I mean, just it's always good just to go nose to nose with the boss, and you know there'll be some clips that probably go on social that'll be unflattering. But I think if you listen to the whole thing, I think I make some pretty good points. I think you can't demand the dog and then get mad at him when he's barking. You know, you can't demand that he goes attacks and then get mad when he bites an arm off. Like you have to choose if you want him or not. That's the way I see it.
It's a fair way of seeing it,
yeah, like
in my
that.
Opinion.
Yeah, I really wish I said that about 5 minutes ago.
obviously.
Oh, can we make sure to clip
like
that?
That's your number one. Number two, or actually who's doing the work.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day...
Number three, Fat Pen.
It was a stupid... Not stupid idea, but it, you know, it was a petty idea. It was
very petty. We all... I mean, this the reunion of the blog... was spawned through Barstool Poker Night.
Yeah, it is your fault.
Yeah, a couple guys shooting the shit. Myself, Ben Mintz, Ken Jack. I mean, everybody had the idea.
And I didn't want to bring you into it or bring up other people at the company, but it's like that might have been my most retweeted tweet within company walls ever.
But I agreed with the idea at the time solely because I, who have been here almost as long as you, would have thought that Dave would have loved it.
Yeah.
And that the dog would have been out of the cage. And that's what he wants. Obviously, grossly misread that situation.
I guess I understand his point that, like, where was that when she was an employee? Why wait until she's gone? But, like, I think it's just such a unique situation that it's like, I never even considered that. It's like, we're just giving this person who no longer works here a platform to promote their new job. Like, I'm not going to just let that fly. Anyway.
Start a normal poker chat.
Go listen to the Dave Portnoy show. This is the Cracking Aces radio show with Owen, with Smitty, with Jake Toole, with Ben Mintz. I'm Nate. And we are about, what, 23 days out from the WSOP. Jake, your entire Hoboken apartment is flooded.
It's gone.
It's just gone.
Bye-bye.
How bad is it?
I mean, it's not. There's no water in there anymore. That's but good.
You had like a foot?
We had about 5 to 5.5 feet.
Jesus.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep. Oh,
is,
yep.
Is all your shit ruined?
Yep. Everything's gone. I did save my desktop and like some other pretty important things. I put like in my office, I have my desk. I have like a couch and this like big dresser that my TV's on top of. The TVs, the dresser and the desk are probably 4 or 4.5 feet high. So I put a bunch of stuff on top of them, like preparing for it, preparing for the storm, oh being God. Like, oh, this is great. Like, there's no way that there's going to be more than, you know, a couple inches
yes,
of water.
My most valued possession. No, I'm going to
No, I mean, I could have got like my computer monitor, my nice TV, like that would have been nice to save.
Oh, my God.
It's all gone.
So you're a city boy now.
So I'm a city boy for the next week or so. I'm going to be commuting to Hoboken daily to play some poker. And
nobody loves it more.
Got to make some new kitchen money. But yeah, my whole kitchen's gone. The fridge was floating through the basement like it was the fucking.
At what point did you realize
Mississippi River?
Shit.
Yeah, it was actually was pretty
it,
funny.
Was it like that early where you first saw a breach or was
yeah?
It like
so I was down. So in my building, I have the basement unit and the first floor unit. And then there's like this pretty small common area that leads out to like, I have a basement door that leads out to the common area that leads out to the street. And it's like slightly below ground level. So I'm down there as it had started raining because there was a very small leak in the boiler room just from a pipe there. So we have a wet vac, took it out, started to like vacuum up there. All of a sudden, like water starts to come in through the basement door, like from out on the street, and I'm down there. I already had the wet vac, so I start to try to wet vac it because it's kind of like slowly trickling in, as if like, you know, it's like trying to mop up like waves in an ocean. Like it just started to pour in, and so we started to barricade our door to that common area, and you know, as if like that had any shot of doing anything. Slowly starts to seep in. Then in my office, all of a sudden, we could hear like a trickle from the foundation of like water, like surrounding it throughout the entire thing. And then in a matter of minutes, it just like rushed in. And probably within 15 minutes, there were you 3 or 4 feet.
Do you have flood insurance?
No. It's looking like Hudson County will probably get some government or state assistance. So that will be good. We have building flood insurance, which at least covers a little bit of that. Otherwise, yeah, I got to start playing some poker again.
It's brutal, dude.
Yeah. So it's pretty rough. Pretty rough. Yeah. I don't think that's going to solve my problems.
Smitty, you played some poker over the weekend?
Yeah, I'm pretty tapped out, for better or worse. I mean, obviously worse.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be tapped out for the better.
Yeah, it's just Jake, as an experienced, profitable poker player consistently, A, how do you run good? And B, when you don't run good, how do you
That's continue? The more important question.
Yeah, how do you continue to play not like an asshole? Because after a while, I'm not going to say I ran like drastically bad, but you know, I wasn't winning coin flips, and then like a thing here happened here or there that might have set me off, and I just started playing like a dick.
Yeah.
What's the best way to combat?
Well, that's the thing. You have to, you know, the one of the best things you can learn is not how to run good. I mean, that's a great skill to have, but it's how to weather the storm when you're not running good. No pun intended.
No, please. In 10 puns.
No, it's you can't let a few bad beats get to you, and it's very easy to like start tilting or like, you know, get pissed off when things don't go your way, especially in tournaments, because it just kind of feels like it all happens at once.
Yeah.
You know what? That's why I don't play tournaments. Or that very many of them, because, you know, you take bad beats, plenty of bad beats in cash games, you get cooled. But there's a little less variance that goes into it, I would say.
I'm going to have to like step away for a little.
That bad?
You just have to accept your fate. You just accept that sometimes there's going to be things that go really, really well for you. And then a lot of times there's going to be things that go very, very poorly for you.
I wouldn't say financially it's that bad. It's more mentally because the lady and the kid were away for a week and I played a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't necessarily play a lot because I was you know, ready to play. I was tired most of the time. It wasn't because I necessarily wanted to play. I knew that was the only time I had to play.
Right.
So I kind of forced it. And now I'm going to step back. I'm going to maybe pick and choose like a tournament or two over the next 2 weeks. I can, you know.
No, they're not running bracelet events anymore.
No,
right?
They're running gold ring events.
Yeah, they just make up.
Yeah, they just make them up.
Yeah, they made up a new one.
So
it's like PA Coupe now.
Yeah, so there were the bracelet events, and which I did okay in. That's what Andrew Porter won, the main.
Right.
And then
directly
after, there were the Keystone Classics, where you got a championship belt, which would have been kind of cool. And over the weekend was some gold ring events, circuit events. But they are running a lot of satellites for pretty cheap into the main. So
into the main event.
Yes.
You should. Yeah. I mean, I would play those if I were you.
Yeah. So
what do they run? Just 200s?
215s. There's a couple hundreds here.
Do they have any like 160 flip?
Yes, they do have something like that. Yeah, yeah. I think they were still 215, but
okay. Yeah, they run some of those in New Jersey.
Or no, Nate, you sent me one. So it was like 180.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it would have been a good.
I got second in one of those for the online 10K main event in December, and I was playing some cash, and I was playing. They were also running a 3500 WPT on Party Poker. And I was playing like a $400 satellite to that. For some reason, I don't know why. Like, I just was like, all right, it's running. I'll play it. And I was in for 6 bullets in that and obviously didn't win a seat. And then I pulled up this table for this all in flip. And I think it was there were 64 people. And I'm watching. I'm like, oh, man, like, OK, I won the first one, won the second one. You start to get down to like the final 8, final 4. Then your head's up and you're like, oh, my God, like. I just have to win this hand.
Do you not have to click anything?
No, you don't click anything.
Yeah, you just watch it.
It's
you
like
just watch.
$10K for first, $72 for second. And I get
it's not even like 500.
I get it in versus Jack nine off versus 8-6 off.
You had 8-6?
I had Jack nine.
Oh.
And
got it in good.
He rivers a 6.
Oh no.
And so then and that was like the very start of a Sunday when I was gonna play like basically everything. And I'm like, how can I possibly play? Speaking to like the mental game of tournaments, I'm like, how can I possibly play for another like 8 hours? How could I do this? I don't understand.
You just went and got Tony Bologna's and you just called it a day.
I should have.
Breaking news from WSOP to answer a couple of our questions. Since all attendees are required to be vaccinated, players will not be forced to wear masks while seated at the poker tables. So I might be the only one wearing a mask at the table.
It's true.
There you go.
I'm still going to wear one.
Nah, you pussy. Wait, are we allowed to mask shame yet? I don't know where we are in this.
Fuck my wife with that.
Yeah.
4 month
pussy.
Old.
Yeah.
I wore one in Florida and thought that I would get some shit, but didn't.
There's no reason to give people shit for wearing it. Like, obviously, like it's safer and all that stuff. But
if everyone's vaccinated there, nobody's going to give you shit for wearing a mask.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll probably still wear
unless they're protesting outside.
I just don't want to give away any tells.
That's do you
it's actually.
Yeah. Cover my face.
Yeah, oh, it definitely helps. It definitely helps.
I'm like a live fish right now.
I hate wearing them for too long. I just feel like it's just like gets gross.
Yeah.
In
it's
there,
like gets really humid.
Yeah.
Behind my ears start to kill.
Behind your oh really hands. That's how I do get that's I get that wearing sunglasses. Yeah,
if you wear noise canceling headphones, you could flip the straps over the big part of the noise canceling headphones. Pro tip. Do that on planes.
I didn't follow that at all.
Like here when these headphones we're wearing, you can flip the strap over this so it doesn't come over your directly over here.
That all being said, let's now jump into our interview with the new voice of the World Series of Poker. She is joining Lon and Norm in the booth for this fall's WSOP. Her name is Jamie Kerstetter. She lives out in Las Vegas, and she's the best. We're now joined for the second time on the show by the new voice of the WSOP, Jamie Kerstetter, coming at us live from her dorm room in Las Vegas, Nevada. Jamie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Wonderful. How much, so you pay for books, room and board, and tuition, or what's that like out there?
Yeah. I'm not joking. This really looks exactly like the dorm that I had. This is what happens. You break up out of a 7-year relationship. You move into a dorm room. It's like a halfway house situation. This is what's happening to me right now. So, you know, everything's great.
Smitty moved back home with his parents, I believe, after that.
Yes, it was worse than a halfway house situation. It was the literal 7th level of Dante Soprano's hell.
I'm very sorry.
Poker. Yes. And a 7-year relationship.
Ben Mintz, you...
Yeah, I've moved. I mean, who the hell knows? Ended up all basically in a shack in Shreveport, Louisiana at one point. But, you know, I feel like I have the utmost faith Jamie will make the best of it. And I really appreciate her coming on the pod today. So, getting excited for WSOP.
Here's the thing. They live together. They are former roommates.
What?
Ben? Oh, no, hey, we were in the same complex.
In the shack?
No. Jamie
the
was
shack
no,
Shreveport?
No, Jamie and I were not roommates, but we were part of the expats that ended up in Rosarito in 2013.
Yes.
So that's how I got to know her. We had a crew like Matt Stout and Katie Stone, and we had a few others.
I was gonna say, when you said we were roommates, I was like, how many drugs did I do? I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. No, but it was fun. That's how I got to know Jamie, was during the Rosarito 2013 online poker days, when I moved out of the country and did not win money.
So Jamie, former lawyer turned poker player. Actually, I have a great quote from you. Where is it? Middling college athlete, unhappy lawyer, so-so poker player, and then bang. So that then bang refers to your media career that you have going on now. You have once again been invited back into the booth at the World Series of Poker. It's going to be on CBS Sports this fall, I believe. So you want to tell us about how you now back in the booth. It's now on CBS. We were talking amongst ourselves, like, kind of cool that, you know, it's now transitioning to a new network, kind of like a new era of poker, and you're spearheading it. So one, congrats, and two, like, what are you most looking forward to?
Thanks. First of all, that quote's from Norman Shad. He's already starting these battles. I don't think he knows what he's in for. This time I have like 6 weeks to prepare, just nasty things to say to him. Last time I had like 2 days before they told me that I was doing it.
I can help.
So, yeah, I was going to say, Nate can probably nudge you in the right direction.
You're going to help me out. Awesome. Nothing's off limits. I'm super happy. I probably would have lost a lot of money betting on me not getting this job again after, you know, certain person wasn't very happy with my performance last time. And also the making the jump from ESPN to CBS, I don't know. I had a bad feeling that they may change everything. I know, you know, there's been rumblings each year. Oh, how long are Lon and Norm going to do this? And like, are they going to shift to someone else soon? I'm really glad they didn't. I love Lon and Norm. Even if I wasn't a part of it, it wouldn't feel like the WSOP without hearing them. Like, I grew up, I loved watching them. And that's like the reason I got into poker, is because I love that coverage. So I'm really happy to be a part of it. I'm super excited. I hired a coach. I'm taking poker seriously for the first time in a decade.
So you can do the play-by-play, not so you can make money playing poker.
I get made fun of this all the time. I'm like, I'm going to get a coach. They're like, did you not want to like win money in poker? And I'm like, I was like, I guess that's another reason to have a coach. But no, I'm looking forward to it a lot. I want to do a good job and I just want to have fun with it.
What's your role as like compared to Lon and Norm's? Like, where do you fit into that equation?
I just consider myself a much better Norm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. No, I'm the poker analyst, and that's why I just want to make sure I'm like taking poker a little more seriously. I don't want it just to be rec players being like, oh yeah, she's fun to listen to. I would like to not insult the really good players in our game who, you know, think about poker and talk about poker on a much higher level. I want to at least do a better job in that spot this time.
Sweet.
I want to ask, so ESPN transitioning to CBS Sports, I mean, got to be think there's a lot of changes with that. I agree that it's good to have continuity with Lon and Norm. You know, what kind of broadcast differences can we be expecting this fall?
I haven't been briefed on this yet. I know that Norm had been kicking around some ideas about how to make it a little more accessible to normal people. If you guys remember when they first had it on ESPN, I can't remember what it was called, 411 Productions or something like that, used to do like crazy amounts of background research on players. Like, they would go to players' hometowns. They'd like interview their families. They'd be like, this is what the person's like at work. It was more like mini documentaries on all the players. Mm-hmm. And for someone like me, I was like, I didn't know that much about poker yet. So I was watching it and starting to root for people or root against people who are kind of assholes. You know, you'd be like, oh, this guy sucks. Like, I hope he loses. You would have background on them. And it didn't matter if you like understood the game that much at the time, you still could root for it. And I feel like that with a lot of different sports, like give me some backstories and I'll start to have, I could watch any sport if you make me care. I want more of that. I know Norm wants more of that. I'm not sure how much leeway we're going to have to like change the way the broadcast works, but I would be really happy if we started to cover poker in like a slightly more, like casual player friendly way.
Yeah. It's like kind of like reality TV almost, where they, you actually get a background on what's going on with people as they like progress.
But you're 1,000% right. And it's actually a fascinating way to think about it. Like when we first started watching, you know, 2002, 2003, everybody had a bio
at that time.
And then as you gradually get back into it, like we said this before, like Nate was chip leader day one in 2016. If that happened in 2005, he wouldn't have to work another day in his life because he would just become a main feature character, even though he busted out on day two.
Yeah, I'd be like a full-tilt pro.
Exactly.
And along those lines, like we call them like the old TV pros. Like you knew TJ Cloutier. You knew the letters.
Scotty.
Like, but even think about the people that weren't even pros. Like, I mean, like Alex Powers or like Dimitri Nobles. Like they're just like random guys that like would make a deep run. Yeah. And they would have their They would have their moment and you'd know everything about them. And you never forget them.
I do think that's where poker on ESPN has failed recently, is developing new characters and new storylines and getting like introducing the common guy who's just flipping channels. Oh, maybe I'll turn on WSOP. And I would use Scotty Wynn as the example. He's just the first name that always comes to my mind, where I was put on the third feature table when I had a ton of chips. And because Scotty Wynn or Greg Raymer or whatever had to be on the main table, I was like, it's 2020. Like, what are we still pumping? Like, but what are we still doing here? Like, why are we still just throwing these same guys over and over and over instead of developing, especially getting like the young Twitch guys onto the feature tables who they have already developed a following and now they can expand it. And that's my one hope is that
those idiots from Northern Europe.
New blood.
New blood is always better.
You're preaching to the choir here. This is the stuff we talk about all the time. I like some of those older school pros are still entertaining. Some are not. And we still talk about them and not adding that much to the broadcast. And it's just like, are we really going to just beat off of nostalgia forever? I think some of the new school pros that people think are like robots really aren't. So you just have to give them a chance to not get like overpowered by the loud guy at the table. Like a person I always use as an example is Nick Petrangelo. This dude is hilarious, but he's not loud. Like you have his beer reviews and stuff are some of the funniest things I've ever seen. But he's not going to be the guy who's like very obviously funny. You have to like get him in an interview to say something funny to like prod it out of him. I want to make some of those people more famous. I want to give them more time because I think that poker needs new blood and we can't just keep relying on like, oh yeah, you're on TV 2 decades ago and everyone cared more. Like, let's just keep feeding this to people. I think they're kind of tired of it and we need some new people.
Okay. As far as y'all going to do the live streams with the delay, are y'all going to cut up and edit it and air it a couple months later? What are y'all doing on that front?
So I'm pretty sure it's going to be live. I have to still talk to them because I know PokerGo and CBS are having it's the kind of thing that annoys people sometimes and they have to switch from PokerGo over to CBS the other way around. They've done it in the past with ESPN as well, where you're kind of bouncing back and forth for some of the coverage. I'm not exactly sure how the schedule is going to look. I'm really hoping it's not behind a paywall for most of it because I might make poker go mad. But I think that for poker, for casual poker players and fans, it's really good just to have the content available. I use UFC as an example. I'm a fan of UFC, but it's really hard for me to go, okay, I'm going to pay like $70 to watch these fights tonight. I'm like, I like it. It's not my favorite thing to do. I'd probably rather go to the movies and spend $10. Like you can't put certain things behind a paywall and try to grow the game.
I could fight. So, I could yell about Poker Go and what they do for hours on end, how they just have wiped the internet straight clean of like just the coolest WSOP hands in history. It would be like if you can't go on YouTube and watch a Michael Jordan dunk because the NBA wiped it clean. You literally cannot go on YouTube and see like the Ray Romano at the table straight flush versus quads hand anymore. They've just wiped it clean. And it's like, how does that help grow the game whatsoever when you could only have to go behind a paywall to see poker?
Yeah, and we were discussing today how poker, specifically live, is just like great evergreen even background content.
Yeah.
Just to have it on a bar and you're just watching it. You don't need to be completely entangled in every single sentence and hand and what's going on. You just have it on and there. And if you need to pay for it, it's going to stop a lot of people.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And I think I don't want to trash Poker Girl because I think a lot of stuff. I love Mori Eskandani. He's very open-minded. He's open to discussing this. I don't think it's set in stone that things are always going to be taken off the internet or behind a paywall. We are in open discussions all the time about it. And I think he's not hard-headed or stubborn. I think they're trying to figure out how to make their business model work.
Yeah.
So like, I'm hopeful things will change a little bit. They'll be less strict with people like using a minute of their content, using a hand history and putting it in a blog they're making or something. I think some things will eventually change with that. I'm hopeful at least. But I'm not sure exactly how this World Series is going to work. If it's going to be like behind a paywall, switch to CBS for free. Yeah. I know in the past it's been kind of funky like that with the
ESPN. I do want to clarify, like, I understand they are a for-profit business and people should pay for a good product, and they have awesome products. Like all the high roller bowls, all that stuff are great. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of like getting the account like struck down DMCA'd or whatever because of just like a cool poker hand, it's like, all right, let's relax a little bit on that. Like, just that's my biggest gripe is basically every day I'm worried that the Instagram and Twitter are going to be taken away.
But like, poker can be such a new school thing if it takes advantage of the new school resources, such as social media. Like, if things go viral or even just like, it doesn't have to be hand specifics, but just characters or people flipping out at the table, if that catches legs, that just brings more eyeballs.
Yep, agreed.
I also want to ask, so obviously so much of the ESPN content as time went on was just main event centric. You just really focused on the main, and they kind of didn't do as much stuff the other events. Are y'all going to stream some final tables of the other events and the big ones, so it's not going to just be main event?
Yep, and that's something I'm really happy about because everything, when things are shifting, I'm like, oh man, when it's going from ESPN to CBS, I'm like, does this mean, I didn't know what that meant for poker. I'm like, does this mean people are over it? Like, what's going on? Because it seems like such a big change, but there's going to be a ton of content. Like, Poker Go is streaming a ton of final tables. I'm going to do a few of the prelims from when I'm not playing. And I think their plan is to put out a ton of poker content. This so weird to say this fall. This fall.
I know.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Summer, but at least, yeah, you guys should look forward to a lot of stuff coming out.
Where will it be broadcasted? It would be internet specific or will it be on actual CBS network TV?
Poker. I think it's mostly Poker Go.
Okay.
I should have really done a little more research. I didn't know I was going to get grilled on
No. It's
they're like, do you want to go on this? And I'm like, yes.
I gave you about 45 minutes heads up. So that's on me.
And it's just very fascinating watching Poker Go from like Binion's old school to just initially being broadcasted by ESPN and them not even know what the fuck to do with it to blowing up. And now it's like switching over to the first time after, like, let's be honest, it was basically exhausted on ESPN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you planning on playing as many prelims as you can?
It's really funny because every year I do the same thing where I go, I'm probably just going to play a couple events. I'll pick out a few here and there because I've been playing more cash lately and I'm like, I'm doing way better at that. Tournaments, I just suck. I can't get anything together. But
they're hard.
I make a list and I count it. It's like 22 events and I'm like, okay, so I guess I go broke again this year. Let's go
run
it.
Right. Plus, like, once you play one, you're like, all right, this is like the softest thing I've ever played. And then you don't make the money and you're like, all right, I guess I got to play the next one tomorrow.
Well,
slippery slope.
Are you going to be able to play one of the flights of the main, or you can't risk making because you won't have to stream it or whatever? But I don't like that because I registered with you last year where just nothing went right for me whatsoever, and I always think,
it was
like,
my fault. Okay,
I've
seen you play.
So yeah, I just blamed you for that. So should we run it back and register together? Or register as opposite times as possible. That's what I'm trying to work out in my brain.
This is definitely really important. We should think more about this.
It's all I think about is if I register at like 1 minute differently, how different my entire life would be.
Yeah, letting me play. I have, I'm going to play day 1D and then they're going to have somebody else commentate if I make day 2. They don't have a lot of faith in me because they're like, if you make day 2, I'll have someone commentate for you. I'm like, what about day 3 and 4? And when you actually make the money, they're like, we'll cross that bridge when we come.
That's why we hired you. You're so funny. Like, that's a great joke, Jamie.
I think our plan, Jamie, Nate and I are going to come out for the opening, for the reunion. And then, you know, we've got the, if we don't make day 2, the 600 deep stack and the 1K super turbo bounty. Because we want to, we're coming out there. We're going to try to nuke our Kraken Aces, do, you know, video logs, and we're going to do all kinds of stuff and content. And then trying to come back maybe Halloween weekend to get geared up for the main and definitely playing the main, but thinking 2 trips is what we're thinking. And That's where we're at, right, Nate?
I think you got to come out for EDC weekend is the week before Halloween. And if anyone's ever gone to EDC, it's already a lot of like almost naked people. Now I'm like almost naked people in Halloween costumes. Sounds like fun.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Ugh, that sounds like a headache. Just gonna have to move.
How old
to
are you?
32. It's like we might as well just move to Vegas and just do the entire series. That's where I'm at, because I look at the schedule and there's something I want to play every 2-3 days, because they cater it to idiots like me who think they can win a bracelet, and so they have a bunch of 1Ks and yeah, stop nodding your head so furiously at idiots like me. But it's just, I mean, even like that flip and go on the 10th, like, well, might as well stay out for that. And then 2 days later, yeah, there's the millionaire maker or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, I got to stay out for that. So, I mean, do you have a lofted bed? I want to just live in Vegas, I guess.
No, we got the pit, you know, yeah, set up at the M, man.
Stay at the M, just me and you sharing a queen bed.
WSOP needs to consult Nate whenever they're making their schedule, because he's like, he's basically just like, there's this gimmick I can't miss, another gimmick I can't miss, another like, they just need to figure out what titles sound good to you and then name all their events after.
Are they keeping it in the fall for 2022, or are they going back to summer?
I would think they'd go back to summer.
I can't imagine.
Part of the logic of the summer, the main event's always kind of at a good time in July when not a lot of other stuff's going on in sports, and so they just seize it for a week. It's,
well, they have these huge convention centers that are definitely cheaper in the dead heat of summer.
Yeah, and it's just, and that's also, but I'm curious like how football season's gonna affect eyes on this thing even too, you know. Just
I would think it'd be good for it.
Yeah, well, I think the main event too, if you make it to day 2 and 3, that's all midweek, and I think during the midweek stuff it'll really, really pop. It's just the weekends, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is definitely as obvious, as popular as it is, I don't think it'll affect there's other things going on where I think the main event attendance could be affected by, but that'll just be a bonus.
I would ask Jamie one thing this year I think is great is them bringing some freezeouts back. I think that that's a great thing, because, you know, it's just so tough to, for a recreational player like myself to play something that Daniel Negreanu is going to have 12 bullets against one of me. And so I like that they're bringing back some freezeouts to kind of give the rec players a little more shot.
And I agree with that. I think that, like, it never bothers me. I like the fact, I like the ones that have one reentry, where like if you travel somewhere and you spend a lot of money on hotels and flights and stuff, busting a 5K and being like, that's the only thing you're playing, and then you leave, that sucks. Right. That's like hard on players. But I think one reentry is good. I think it is a really like tough thing to explain to an amateur, like, hey, you might have to knock out Alex Boxen 6 times. Sorry. It's like really hard to win that tournament when someone's going to rebound.
Well, not this year. This year.
Yeah, right. Not this series. That's a great name to throw out there.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I agree. I think just the more variety you offer players, the better. Like if someone wants to play freeze up, give them a freeze out. If someone's playing Omaha or anything else, or like they want a super turbo bounty, cool. I think they did a good job. Like just looking at the schedule, I'm like, I was like, there's so many things I want to play. There's so many affordable events and lots of different things to play. So I'm pretty excited for it.
I'm just fired up. Just, we've talked about this a bunch. Just the fact that live poker's back. We didn't get to play WSOP at all last year. It's just going to be so exciting to be out there. Do you kind of feel, just, you're big on poker Twitter, do you feel that same sort of energy? Just people are just super stoked just to get out there and play? Or is there I know people bicker and yell about vaccines and this and that, but do you feel like people for the most part are fired up?
Yeah, I think, I know that for some people it was a really unpopular decision for them to require vaccinations. But when I read that, I was like, I feel sorry for my friends who this affects, but it made me realize we're actually going to have a WSOP. And before that, I just had this feeling of like, don't get too excited. Don't make a bunch of plans with friends, whatever, because I thought at any moment the rug could get pulled and they'd go, oh, it's too dangerous. Like, we can't have people dying just to play poker tournaments. I feel like now people are starting to get hyped. They realize it's really happening. They're booking their Airbnbs and they're like making plans. Yeah. And I feel like that just as recently, maybe the last couple of weeks, where like people started to really have like a buzz about it. You're starting to see people trying to sell themselves at like 1.3. And I just roll my eyes. You know, it's the same thing we see every year, which is,
we're back. We're back.
We're back, baby.
Well, Jamie, I know you have a call in a couple of minutes. So thank you so much for joining us. And we will look for you on TV. We'll be like, hey, there's our friend. And when we're out there, we'll definitely stop by the booth and say hello.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, Jamie.
Yep.
Bye.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much to Jamie for coming on. It's going to be really cool to watch her back in the booth doing all the WSOP coverage. Definitely going to hang out with her while we're out there playing all the events. She is fantastic on Twitter, so give her a follow over on Twitter and Instagram. you know, we're 3 weeks out. Today is September 7th. I believe the first event is like 30th or 31st. I'm super excited. I'm trying little by little to get better at poker. I'm almost falling into like the trap where it's like, man, it's so close. Like, can I actually get that much better? But I'm still watching videos. I'm very excited to play. Jake, I wish you were coming out there before the main, but you know,
it's not 0% that I'm out there.
Yeah. You think you're going to get the itch?
No, no. But I would say it's maybe with this apartment thing less, but 5%.
Why don't you and her just move to Vegas? There's an idea.
For the month. Well, we have two dogs.
There's plenty of.
I got to be around for
Vegas.
Like construction stuff now.
No, just wait. Just let it mold up. And yeah, just take care of it when you get
just
back.
Try to make it as shitty,
yeah,
and gross.
You're
as
gonna
possible.
Have to pay for it anyway.
You're right. You're not
it's
wrong.
An idea. Maybe yeah, you love climbing. There's a lot of hikes out there.
No, I mean, I might end up, maybe I'll end up going a little earlier, end of October, but I don't know. That is good. It's just going to be like a last minute thing.
All right. Well, make sure to download, rate, subscribe the podcast, follow Smitty on Instagram and Twitter. Good luck to your Eagles this coming up Sunday.
Go Birds.
Not nailed it. Jake, do you have a bet for Sunday?
Yeah, we're going to go with the over 185 and a half yards of Mac Jones passing.
Wow.
Just kidding. I have no idea.
Oh, I was like, I really like
that. That's a guaranteed over.
Yeah. I was like, wow, wait, is it that low? I really, really like that. Oh, and you got anything for this Sunday?
I still have to use my free $1,000 Barstool bet in New Jersey.
There you go.
I don't live in New Jersey. So right now,
completions, no matter what it is.
Over?
Yes.
Against the Eagles?
Yes.
Oh, because you have no secondary.
Well, I mean, they have no running game.
All right.
They have no. That minimal might, secondary.
That's my bet.
That's the bet.
That's my bet.
We're betting against the Eagles.
Probably be like 28.
You think it'll be
Smitty,
that high?
Smitty's on the hook.
Good Lord. That's so
Smitty much. Is on all the right. hook, but that's it.
We will be back next week.